Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
ISIL does not represent Islam. It is not representative in any way of the attitudes of the overwhelming majority of Muslims.
There is a dance of death in the West, an actual death in the Middle East, courtesy of the Islamofascists. Meanwhile, the Caesar in the White House entertains himself with 1,000 sycophants, partying on behind closed doors as if the Islamofascist hand will not touch him. He thinks he's protected from this new plague, the Black Death of radical Islam. We are facing something the West hasn't had to deal with since the wars of religion in the 16th and 17th centuries. When those religious wars ended in one place, they began in another. They lasted for over 100 years. The same thing is happening right now. The radical Muslims are on the warpath, and they are against everyone else. They are against Muslims who are not as fanatical. They are against the members of all other religions. They think they're going to take us back to some pristine religious period in human history that never actually occurred. It is all complete rubbish. These faith warriors live lower than the pigs they despise. They kidnap and rape 8-year-old girls and say the Quran authorizes it. They're not purists. They're psychopathic killers. They're Nazis in headscarves. They aren't leading a religious revival. They're trying to take us back to a state of barbarism that has been extinct for 1,200 years. This is a barbaric revolution, and we have a man in the White House who denies its existence. But whether he chooses to acknowledge it or not, it's going to continue until someone puts a stop to it. Jonathan Sacks called the fight against radical Islam the defining conflict of the next generation. He likened radical Islam to a starfish. When you cut off a spider's head, it dies. But when you cut off the leg of a starfish, the starfish can regenerate it. Radical political Islam is a starfish. If you defeat ISIS or Al-Qaeda, they will merely come back under another name. Why would any government bring in unvetted Muslim immigrants at a time like this? It would seem that only an insane prince would do this to his country. But Obama is not insane. He's stoned. He's stoned on the orthodoxy of the progressive left. Obama and his supporters are drunk on their ideology. They think they're going to create a progressive utopia by continuing their attack on all Western values. This is precisely how great civilizations of the past declined and eventually fell. They rejected the values that made them great and degenerated into narcissism and selfishness. They kept on partying until they were too weak to defend themselves. And then the unthinkable happened. They fell. Those are the opening words from my prophetic book, Government Zero. No truer words have been spoken yet on this insane president, this insane Hillary, this insane Sanders, this insane liberalism that is going to kill us all. I would say welcome to the Savage Nation, but there's nothing to welcome. We are in the Third World War. Who said that? Who said over the weekend, this is the beginning of World War III? None other than the progressive socialist Pope. And what's intriguing to me is that the vermin in the American media, the very same liberals who embraced this progressive Pope for his crackpot ideology on so many things, including climate change, did not even quote the Pope when he said this is the beginning of World War III. Even the pacifist Pope, the crackpot progressive Pope, recognizes that this is a war on Christianity, more specifically a war on Western Christianity. This is the Savage Nation. In case you don't know what it is, this is Michael Savage speaking to you and the world from one of the sickest places in the universe, San Francisco. A city that is so corrupt that it creates a new definition for the word corruption. A city that is so degenerate that it redefines the word degeneracy. And yet we sit here partying on. Many decades ago, there was an epidemic in America called AIDS. And when the epidemic occurred, there were gay people in the community themselves, in the gay community, which was ground zero for the AIDS epidemic, who said, we've got to understand that we are the epicenter of this epidemic. One of them died from AIDS. His name was Randy Schultz. And he wrote a book called And the Band Played On. He himself tried to criticize the insanity of his own group. And they roundly excommunicated him from their own group for telling them the truth. I stand here before you on this microphone, in front of this microphone, trying to ring the bell of sanity in a world of insanity. We have leaders who are so spineless or insane or drugged that they're not leaders. They're going to kill all of us. As I stand here, I watched your president speak today in Turkey. And even though I am perhaps one of his harshest critics, I saw a man speak today who was not only clueless, but clearly deranged. He was so deranged that even the liberal, progressive reporters in the audience sat with their mouths agape as they listened to the rubbish coming out of the thin man's mouth. The empty suit was never more empty. The fallacy of Obama as a leader was never more clear, even to those reporters who are given to liberal progressive values, if you want to call them values. They stood there shocked by what he was not saying, and more so shocked by what he was saying. And so that begins the program. We're facing an enemy that's been at it for 1,200 years. And if you say they're not Islamic, you're a fool. Then you're denying what they themselves say. Well, what are they then? Jewish? Christian? Hindu? Zoroastrian? Who are they? Are they a group of Buddhists in headscarves? Are they Christians in headscarves? Are they Jews in headscarves? Who are they? They call themselves the Islamic State, and here is in the empty suit called Obama saying that they're not anything to do with Islam. Now, I happen to have in my hand an ISIS Twitter feed after the slaughter. Have you seen the photographs of the slaughter? Have you bothered to look at the bloodstained floor where these children were being entertained by a heavy metal death band? That's a subject I'm going to talk about in a minute. A heavy metal death band was playing. It's funny that the opening to my chapter is entitled A Dance of Death in the West. What's actually chilling is it was a dance of death in the West that was attacked by ISIS. In the Twitter feed from ISIS, which was sent to me by someone who I will not mention, they say the targets included, and I'm quoting now, the Bataclan Theater for exhibitions where hundreds of pagans gathered for a concert of prostitution and vice. And then they boast about the other attacks. And they say Paris was thereby shaken beneath the crusaders' feet who were constricted by its streets. The result of the attacks was the deaths of no less than 200 crusaders and the wounding of even more. And they write this, Mr. Obama, all praise, grace, and favor belong to Allah. So far as I know, Allah is not the leader of Buddhism or Hinduism or of Christianity, Mr. Obama. Are you insane? I personally believe that Obama is insane. I have said this for several months now. We have an insane leader who is getting away with virtual insanity right before our eyes because no one dares call it insanity. Don't confuse his insanity with liberalism, because even liberals know what must be done. Even liberal girl reporters know what must be done. I believe that Obama is a psychopath or he is on medication. In either case, he is putting the world at danger. How shocking is it that the imbecile of Europe, which is how ISIS refers to Hollande, they called him the imbecile of Europe, which is quite shocking in the fact that when you look at him, he looks like the imbecile of Europe. If you look at 19th century daguerreotypes of madhouses, that's not too far from what he appears to be, an imbecile. So the socialists in the EU pick imbeciles not to run their nations, but to run their nations off the rails. The imbeciles are the people who let this go on. As I said to you, this is supposed to be a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people. Is that what we have, or do we have government zero, where there are no borders, no language, and no culture? How insane is a man who says at a time like this that not only is he not going to stop the influx of male, Muslim, Syrian refugees of military age, but he's going to double down and bring in more? If this is not insanity, tell me what it is. If this is not insanity, tell me what it is. You know, there's an old saying that any man can make a mistake. But if a man makes the same mistake twice, he's stupid. I learned that in high school. Apparently, nobody dared criticize Barry from Honolulu. They were afraid to criticize Barry from Honolulu. He has never been chastised or criticized in his life. So therefore, he is perfect. Therefore, he can never be wrong. Therefore, he can never doubt any of his positions. That, my friends, is the mark not of stupidity, but of insanity. Yes, if you make the same mistake twice, you're stupid. But if you make it three times, four times, five times, need I list all of the attacks by Muslims in the world? What would you call that if not insanity? You could say you're putting your head in the sand. I wouldn't say that. Now, there are those who would argue that Obama's not insane at all. He's actually working for the other side. They would say he is part of the Muslim Brotherhood. I've read all of it. I've seen all of the literature. That he is right out of the show Homeland. He's a deep cover plant who was put in office to destroy the West. I don't have to go there because it doesn't matter whether that's true or false. I could dismiss it. It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter whether he is or he isn't. Because if he is, he wouldn't be doing anything different than what he's doing now. And if he isn't, he's doing all he can do to keep the West weak for further attacks. And so it leads us back to the question of what are we supposed to do about this dance of death in the West? How are we supposed to deal with a government that is blind, deaf, and dumb to the people's wishes? How do we deal with government zero? How do we deal with President Zero? That, my friend, those, my friends, are the only questions we will talk about today on The Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Overwhelming majority of victims of terrorism over the last several years, and certainly the overwhelming majority of victims of ISIL, are themselves Muslims.
Garbage! Garbage!
ISIL Garbage does liar. Not represent Islam. It is not representative in any way.
Any other time, the man would be impeached. He'd be arrested for this in a war. I can't listen to it. The man is a liar. He's an apologist. It would be like listening to a president, let's say after Japan attacked Pearl Harbor and sank our ships and killed 3,000 men, that a president would get up after a thing like that and say, the majority of Japanese love America. The majority of Japanese are not warlike. The majority of Japanese love America. The majority of Japanese did not want the attack on Pearl Harbor. And the only way to win this war against Japan is to what, eat sushi? To learn how to use chopsticks. So since the president is an ignoramus surrounded by idiots, let me read you a statement from ISIS itself, and you decide, you idiot, liberal, moron, progressives, suicidal maniacs, you decide for yourself whether they're Islamic or not. Here is a statement from ISIS on their own Twitter feed that came out on November 14th from them. By the way, the attack occurred on Friday the 13th, which I'll tell you the significance of in a few minutes. If you think it was by chance, then you also know nothing about history. You're as ignorant as I think you are. You're as empty as your jeans. You are just empty heads who think you're smart because you went to college. If you had any idea what the symbolism was, you'd understand the danger you've put yourself in through your liberalism. I can't read you the whole piece, but I'll start with some of it. So Obama says that they're not Muslim. Quote, in the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most beneficent. In a blessed battle whose causes of success were enabled by Allah. A group of believers from the soldiers of the caliphate, may Allah strengthen and support it, set out targeting the capital of prostitution and vice, the lead carrier of the cross in Europe, Paris. This group of believers were youth who divorced the worldly life and advanced towards their enemy hoping to be killed for Allah's sake. Doing so in support of his religion, his prophet, blessings and peace be upon him and his allies. They did so in spite of his enemies. Thus they were truthful with Allah. I'm not making up one word of this. If you want to believe what your moronic, liberal, idiotic, perverted teachers taught you in college, do so at your own risk, you morons. Because whether you want to accept you're at war doesn't matter. Because the enemy has accepted that they're at war. They're at war and you're not, so who wins that one? The targets included the theater for exhibitions where hundreds of pagans, they write, gathered for a concert of prostitution and vice. Allah blessed our brothers and granted them what they desired. They detonated their explosive belts in the masses of the disbelievers after finishing all their ammunition. We ask Allah to accept them amongst the martyrs and to allow us to follow them. I can read more of it, but I don't know if it's worth reading to an audience in America that is brain dead, drugged, psychotic. So let me read from the beginning of chapter 3 of Government Zero. I'm going to read one paragraph. Zero strategy against ISIS. Islam woven into the fabric of America, question mark. In 2015, Obama held an extremism conference at which he said things that are not only delusional but frightening. If he actually believes what he said, he's insane. He knows better. Consider this statement by the commander-in-chief. Quote, here in America, Islam has been woven into the fabric of our country since its founding generations. I write, really? I had no idea. I didn't know that George Washington was secretly a Muslim who got on his knees on a prayer rug and prayed to Mecca at Valley Forge.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Here in America, Islam has been woven into the fabric of our country since its founding. Generations of Muslim immigrants came here and went to work as farmers and merchants and factory workers.
You know, why is he a sympathizer to Islam? Because he's a Muslim. Do you understand that through patrilineal descent, Obama is by definition Muslim? Now, whether he converted to Christianity is a question. It doesn't really matter. And whether he's a Muslim doesn't matter, because most Muslims oppose terrorism. We know that. Then why does he bend over backwards to say that they're not Islamic, they're not Muslims, when they themselves pray to Allah, say they're doing it for Allah? And by the way, since this bleeding heart fraud in the White House, this double agent, thin man, so anxious to bring in so many refugees from war-torn Syria, and you liberals, I know, love refugees, especially when there's a buck to be made on it. And I'll read the names of the groups that are making billions off the refugees that are going to come in, that are coming in. You'll throw your guts up when you hear their names. You probably belong to their churches. But where are the bleeding hearts crying out for the Christian Syrians, the Christian Iraqis who are being tossed and turned around the Middle East? Do you know that many of these Christian refugees made it to America and Obama threw them out of the country? In San Diego, they had families waiting to take them in, and this evildoer in the White House had them deported because they were Christians. And do you know that Christian refugees are afraid of going to Europe because many of the refugee camps are filled with radical Muslims who are beating up less Sharia-compliant Muslims in the refugee camps or thrown off ships, as the African refugees are doing? Did you know that? The African Muslims are so violent that they're throwing Muslims and Christians off the refugee boats who are not Sharia enough. Do you understand what's going on? Do you have any idea to comprehend the hypocrisy and lunacy? Well, then you also have to love the Democrat debates the other night, which I refused to watch. I wouldn't waste my time. It's a sham. A Stalinist show trial is too mild a statement for what this campaign of Hillary's is. But there's this old, deranged fool. And I have to say that Bernie Sanders is classically a deranged old man, literally spitting on himself, who has a delusion that ISIS is delusional. He knows more about ISIS than even ISIS does. That idiot Bernie Sanders, that laughable moron, knows more about the Islamic State than even the members of Islamic State knows. Bernie Sanders, a delusional communist from New York, says that they're under the delusion that they're just following the Quran and the Hadith. They don't know what they're doing, but Bernie knows. He knows better. But he even went further, Bernie from Brooklyn. Bernie from Brooklyn says the root cause of all of this hatred is because of climate change. And he says when people don't have enough water and can't grow the crops, they get crazy. Now, of course, this has nothing to do with the fact that they've been killing people around them since the 7th century, long before climate change occurred, long before the Industrial Revolution, long before carbon pollution occurred. Radical Islamists have been killing everyone around them to convert them to their view of the world. But Bernie Sanders says it's all about climate change. How can anyone listening to this program ever vote for a Democrat again unless they're suicidal maniacs? I don't understand. Unless they're suicidal maniacs who put money above everything else, I don't understand. Make no mistake about what I'm going to say to you. It's 100% true. There is a campaign to delude themselves in order to make a profit. This has nothing to do with humanitarianism. Wait till I read the names of the groups that want the Syrians in. You want to hear the names of them? The U.S. Conference on Catholic Bishops called for 100,000 Syrian refugees. The Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services. Do you think that the Catholic bishops and the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services are doing it because they're so benevolent and Christian? Or do you think it's because of the money? 100,000 Syrian Muslim refugees imported into the U.S. came last week from Eleanor Asir, a senior director of refugee protection at Human Rights First. Human Rights First. These are all insane liberals. They're insane. It would be laughable if they were still restricted to the nut houses called universities, which used to be a safe haven for these insane liberals. We knew that it went on there. And as long as they were confined in the new madhouses, Jerry Brown's father closed down the insane asylums in California, which then was followed around the country as a very progressive move. And all of the insane people who were slightly functional went to work in universities. And it was okay for the rest of us. We knew that the new nut houses, the universities, were safe places for them. And now all of a sudden they're running the world. So now let me turn to what he's doing with the military. Now if you say, well, why are you quoting your book at a time like this? Well, for one, it's the most prophetic book of our time. Secondly, if you go into a bookstore right now, tell me why you'd want to read about killing Reagan. Is that something that's important to you right now, you fools? That's what you have to read about, Ronald Reagan again? No, you have to read about Government Zero. No borders, no language, no culture. Why have I written the book? Why did the hand of fate move my hand to write this book over the last year? Why did the hand of fate have the book come out just at this time? So let me read you the opening to the chapter Zero Military, because it happened again over the weekend. He did something that you'd never believe could happen at a time like this. Zero Military, Chapter 4. Joseph Stalin executed his generals in the 1940s out of fear they were plotting a coup against him, which they were not. As a result, the Soviet military was unable to operate effectively. Similarly, other dictators have purged the military in paranoid fits. Today we are witnessing a similar purge, carried out not with bullets, but with smears, innuendo, and spurious legal charges. But it is a purge of senior military officers nevertheless. In my last book, Stop the Coming Civil War, I told you about the hundreds of high-ranking officers dismissed from the military for failing to comply with the progressive Islamist takeover. General David Petraeus, Major General Michael Carey, Vice Admiral Timothy Giardina, General Stanley Allen McChrystal. These were some of the best men in the history of the military. They're just a few of the heroes purged from the new progressive military by this crazed Stalinist in the White House. But this was by no means the end. And take a guess what happened over the weekend. You didn't read about this? Well, here it is. Saved it for you for today. When I saw it Saturday, I said, he's doing it right in front of our eyes. He's purging the military as I speak. Headline, New York Times. Dismissed Pentagon general held wide influence behind the scenes. Now, by the way, Lieutenant General Ronald F. Lewis was one of the best men in the military. He's an African American, by the way. Obama threw him out of the military over the weekend on trumped up charges. Do you know what this man was capable of? He had one of the highest jobs in the military. But he wasn't one of these paper pushing, phony, fat behind idiots that sit in the Pentagon just to cash in on their pensions and contracts. This was a fighter. He was a warrior. This was a man who was a special forces airborne ranger, snake eater. This was a man, a black man who went to West Point. This was a man who was one of the best fighters in the military. He developed an interest in aviation while studying mechanical engineering. And instead of becoming a pilot, he became a pilot of Apache attack helicopters. This African-American general that Obama just threw out of the military went on to command an army battalion in Iraq. He served two tours in Afghanistan, first as a brigade commander and then as the deputy commander of the 101st Airborne Division. Between his tours in Afghanistan, the man was working in the Pentagon. He knew the new defense secretary, Mr. Carter. And yet he was thrown out of the military over the weekend. He had been rewarded with a promotion to lieutenant general, becoming one of the few African Americans serving in the upper ranks of the military. And they threw him out of the military under the trumped up charges that he had an affair under the guise of personal misconduct. There were no details about the smear campaign, but he was thrown out of the military nevertheless by Barack Hussein Obama. If this is not evidence, further evidence of Obama's madness, I'd like to know what I need to present to you. So you say, well, let's say I agree with you. Let's say Savage, this guy who I've hated all these years, turns out to be right. He tried to warn us about Islamists. I called him a racist. He tried to warn us about Obama for 7 years. I called him a racist. Now I wake up and I see the guy was right. So Savage, what do you recommend we do? I recommend immediate hearings to dismiss Barack Hussein Obama for medical reasons. I need an outside panel of psychiatrists to adjudge his sanity or insanity. What do you do if you wake up and you have a man who is so good at faking it his whole life that he can get away with faking his sanity? What if you find out that your president is a madman? Because who but a madman would say that not only is my strategy working against ISIS when it's not working, but I'm not only going to not bring in more Muslim men of military age, I'm going to bring in more of them. If that's not insanity, tell me what it is. Well, there's only one other word that applies, treason. In either case, we need a panel of psychiatrists to be convened immediately to judge whether the president is fit to hold office. If he's, listen to me, if he's commander-in-chief, that means he should be subject to the same structure as any military general would be subject to. And if a command general starts to show signs of either paranoia or delusional behavior or going over to the other side like Bergdahl did, you have to have a convening of officers to judge whether the man is fit for office. What makes a president above the human condition? I've been asking you for years now. Look, I could plead with you all day long today and make utterly good sense, and you know what? Nothing will come of it. The reason nothing will come of it is because we are paralyzed in the West. The West is finished. I want to tell you something. We're going to be attacked again and again, and nothing's going to change. Nothing will change because we have sick progressive Islamists running everything. They're going to destroy all of us until eventually it stops and there's a reaction. Now, let me give you some observations. Over the weekend, I waited for this show to begin since Friday's show. And one of the days I went to a local mall in a suburban white community where almost everyone's lily white. And I put on my ISIS cap. And I said, Michael, make believe you're a radical Muslim walking around in America. Tell me what you see. See, I'm a very inventive personality. Some would say that's really crazy what you just did. No, it isn't. It's called thinking. Something that's extinct in the United States of America. It's called critical thinking. It's called role playing. But it's something you can't really do unless you have a very fertile mind. And let me remind you something. Government Zero hit it to number 3 on the New York Times list without any help from the media. I'm still blacklisted. This is the 7th bestseller I've had in a row. New York Times still blacklisted. What does it have to do with anything? I'm the only member of the American media banned from entering Britain. Do you know why I was banned from entering Britain? One of the things I allegedly said was this. I said, let's do this together. Let's think together. This was in 2008. I said, what would you do if a radical Muslim group gets their hands on a nuclear device? And you know where they are and you know they're going to set it off. I said, would you rather see a million of them killed or a million of us killed? And for using that logic, I was banned from entering Britain by the psychotic liberal socialist appeasers who let Muslim fanatics into their country, who scream, kill the queen, overthrow Britain. But I am not allowed to enter that country. That's a nation that's disappeared from the planet. Britain no longer exists. It's a figment of the imagination of soccer fans. Take a look at that phony Cameron and tell me that Britain exists. Another empty shell. Another empty suit. And now we come back full circle to that question. What would you do, you good liberal, if you wake up and find out that ISIS has a nuclear device and they're threatening to blow it up, God forbid, in New York City? Tell me what you would do. Go and buy a Quran and try to understand them? Tell yourself that they're not Muslim? Bring in more refugees in order to appease them? Tell me what you would do. So let me go back to what I was trying to say to you before. As I'm saying so much at once, it's very hard to contain all my thoughts at once. But I speak extemporaneously based upon the facts. Go to the mall, white mall, Saturday, sunny day. Now I say, make believe you're a radical Muslim walking around in America. Tell me what you see. Now remember, I had 3 best-selling novels in a row. Abuse of Power, A Time for War, Countdown to Mecca. I know you didn't read any of them because I'm not a literary figure. You haven't seen me mentioned anywhere in the New York Review of Books or interviewed by any of the famous progressives on the media. But 3 best-selling novels in a row. So I can think creatively like a novelist. So what did I, as a novelist, see as I walked around that mall? Well, I see I have to take a quick commercial break for the wonderful sponsors who make the show possible. So please bear with me. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COI. Welcome back. Geez, only a minute left. I don't have a time. I'm playing some French music. We're playing French composers. Saint-Saëns, Ravel, Berlioz, Debussy, Bizet, Lully. We've also played the French national anthem. I'm going to play an American composer, which I love, George Gershwin, An American in Paris. But I need time to develop it. I'm sorry, the format limits me. My mind requires more time than I have. I can't compress it. When I left off, I was telling you that I put on a different mindset as I walked around an American mall. And I said, what if I were a radical Muslim walking around in America? What would I see in a white American mall on a Saturday? I'll give you a hint. I saw a grown man with a 14-year-old daughter. The daughter was walking around in a pair of pajamas with no shoes. The father was on an iPhone. I said, if this doesn't symbolize the death of the West, I'd like to know what does. You say, well, it's only a girl in pajamas. Is that what it is? Just a girl in pajamas and a father on an iPhone? More when I come back about Government Zero. Maybe you'll wake up.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The strategy that we are putting forward is the strategy that ultimately is going to work. But as I said from the start, it's going to take time. And what's been interesting is in the aftermath of Paris, as I listen to those who suggest something else needs to be done, typically the things they suggest need to be done are things we are already doing.
Incidentally, I'm playing Berlioz Symphony Fantastique, March to the Scaffold, because this lunatic, this psychopath in the White House, is marching us all to the scaffold with his cool intellectual academic mind. It's interesting to me how cool and collected he is, and so benevolent when it comes to Islamofascism, so detached even, yet how vicious he is when it comes to Christians, Jews, Israel, and his own nation. It's a pregnant statement, I think. He's doing nothing, in other words. For 2 years, he faked a war against ISIS. How long have I told you it was a fake war against ISIS? How long have I, Michael Savage, told you that we created ISIS? They're using our weapons. They're basically were fighting under our air cover, because we weren't using air cover to knock them out. How long ago was it that I said to you, after they took Mosul, I said there was a victory parade of a half a mile long of their Toyota trucks, and we didn't fire one rocket at them, nor did Israel, by the way. That's when the bell went off in my head, and I said, aha, there it is. Obama and Israel have created ISIS in order to take out Assad. You say, well, maybe you're right. Well, now Russia suddenly changes the quotient. Russia steps in at the last minute and says, no, no, you're not knocking out my ally. You're not taking out Assad. We have our Navy there. He is our linchpin in the Middle East. You're just not going to do it. And this was after Obama had turned Putin into Hitler. Do you remember? Who else called him Hitler? None other than Hillary Clinton called him Hitler. So we have a situation now that's gotten out of control. The French, who have an imbecile in the army, I agree with ISIS, he is an imbecile. Hollande is an imbecile, plucked from the stupidest amongst the elite. I mean, it's not enough. He's just they're intelligent socialists. They're a patriotic socialist. He's an imbecile. Right out of a 19th century daguerreotype from a lunatic asylum in France. But even that lunatic socialist has launched airstrikes against ISIS, while this fraud in the White House does nothing except expel hot air from between his hissing teeth. You hear the hiss of hot air coming out of him. I saw an empty suit speaking this morning in Turkey. I couldn't believe what I was listening to. I know most of you were working, and you didn't have time to listen. I watched with awe how he could get away with this. When even the liberal girl reporters in the audience sat there stunned that he would repeat the same big lie over and over again, till someone stands up and says, King has no clothes. No, the king is either crazy or he's working for the other side. Get him off the stage. Put in a wartime consigliere, to use a metaphor from The Godfather. Obama's politics are dead. They're as dead as the ideology of progressive liberalism. Dead in the water. And yet they can't change. They won't change unless they're removed from office. Let me go back in time for you. World War II. Eve of World War II. England had a leader. He was a pretty smart man. He was a socialist. He goes to Germany to try to appease Hitler. Comes back. And he holds up a piece of paper and he says, I've just come back from speaking with Herr Hitler. And the Anglo-German naval agreement has never been stronger. There will never be a war again. Hip, hip, hooray! The next day, Germany invaded another country. What happened to that leader? The country threw him out. His own party threw him out. His own party realized that he was going to have lead Britain into the jaws of defeat. They got rid of him. Who took over? A wartime consigliere named Winston Churchill, who saved England. Why do we not have the capacity to remove this weakling academic lunatic from office? He can be removed under many different charges. Insanity, incompetence, consorting with the enemy. There's no reason it can't be convened. Say, come on, you're way out of your league, Savage. He's such a great man. How do you even dare suggest such a thing? Well, it's fallen upon me to suggest such a thing because no one else will do it, which is why I'm still banished from the media, from the American media. Isn't it astonishing that I have a book that's number 3 on the New York Times list at a time like this that is absolutely on target, called Government Zero, and The Blacklist by Roger Ailes continues to this day? He'd rather have a member of ISIS on, a murderer, than a man who speaks the truth. You know, there's a statement that I put up on my website, michaelsavage.com, by Orwell. I want to get it just right. It's next to the article, A Dance of Death in the West, but I've got to get the Orwell quote correct. I don't want to misquote myself. I hope it's still up there. I think it, here it is. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And one of my favorite thinkers, George Orwell. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. I am the most hated figure in the American media. I don't delude myself. I don't wear it with pride. I wish it were another way, but it isn't. But I do this because I feel that we're down at the end, or at the end of the road here. The hateful Islamist mother of the vermin who blew himself up, that filthy, rotten mother of theirs, says that the Islamist murderer blew himself up because of stress. I'm not making it up. She was interviewed after the verminous son. She said he blew himself up because of stress, says Ibrahim Absalom's family. Stress. Stress. Now, I think it was John Kerry who said that they need jobs. Remember that about a year ago? Or was it one of the girls who worked for Kerry? Said that the reason they're doing this is because they don't have jobs. Now Bernie Sanders says it's because of global warming. That's hot down there in, excuse me, in the Middle East. Now let's look at the attack itself. And then we're going to talk about what we should do while playing French music by great French composers. As I mentioned before, we just played Berlioz's Symphonie Fantastique, March to the Scaffold. Quite telling listening to Obama saying his strategy is ultimately going to work. Well, let's play another Obama here, clip number 4. Because if you want to hear about delusional thinking, listen to clip 4.
There have been a few who suggested that we should put large numbers of U.S. troops on the ground. And keep in mind that
the big lie here,
you know, we have the finest military in the world, and we have the finest military minds in the world.
Yeah, with a great commander in chief.
Meeting with them intensively for years now
to throw out
discussing these various options.
And anyone who says they should, they throw out.
Not just my view, but the view of my closest military and civilian advisors, that would be a mistake.
So his closest military advisors are the ones who he didn't throw out. Any military advisor who said use troops and crush them like the rat bugs that they are, he dismisses from the military under trumped up charges. Civilian advisors consist of degenerate, psychotic drug addicts, in my opinion. I don't know what else to say to you. They're drugged. I look at them, they all look like they're on medication. I think the entire West is medicated. And they're all on drugs, one way or the other. I don't care if it's Prozac or an illegal drug, they're medicated. They're psychotic. They have no reason leading a nation at a time like this. Now let's look at the French so-called air attacks over there. All we saw was the French planes taking off with the red exhaust coming off the jets, and we all cheered. Whoa, that looked good, didn't it? And then we hear that the French bombed the training camp and the munitions depot, right? Oh, that's great. That made great sense. Bravo, Mr. Hollande. Well, it begs the question, if they knew where the training camps were and where the munitions depot was, why did they bomb it after the attack, not before it? Why did we bomb it before? Why didn't we bomb their training and recruitment centers and their ammunition depots, let's say last week, last month, last year? So we know where they are. We know where they're training. We know where their command and control centers are. Remember the Iraq War? Remember how we all watched it on television? How George Bush masterfully took out, step by step, with targeted bombing. It was under Schwarzkopf, remember? And we watched the bombing in the early phases before the invasion, how they took out buildings in Baghdad, and other cities that were exactly that. Command and control centers, recruitment centers, munitions depots, they were all targeted with smart bombs, and they were all taken out one at a time in a methodical campaign. That's how a war is fought. Then the military went in on the ground. So in other words, they know where they are. They know where their depots are. They know where their recruitment centers are. They know where their command and control centers are, but they're not bombing them. Why? Because they don't want them to disappear. Because they are our Hessians. ISIS is our Hessian army. And it was set up by clandestine American political forces in order to take down Assad. That's my analysis of it. One man's opinion. Forgive me for thinking out loud. One man's opinion. There's no other explanation why Obama has conducted a useless war for 2 years, a fake war. Let me tell you something. Our military could destroy ISIS within 2 weeks. And I don't mean by ground troops. They can take them out through air power, sea power, submarine-launched ballistic missiles could destroy them in less than 2 weeks. They could eliminate them from the planet. And it won't happen because they're a factotum of the Obama machine. It's a factotum that I believe was existing only to take down Assad. And then along came Putin, who said, no, you will not do it. Now, I'm going to rest my case right now because I made my case over and over again, which is that fundamentally either Obama is crazy, incompetent, or worse yet, a traitor. I know you say, how could you say a president's a traitor? That's unheard of. Why? Tell me why it's not possible that he's a traitor. He's certainly a traitor to the ideals of Judeo-Christian civilization. So let's start with that position. Is Obama a traitor to Judeo-Christian values or not? Yes. Although he espouses them, he certainly doesn't exemplify them. Why doesn't he accept Christian refugees from the Middle East? Why only Muslim refugees? Why does he want to usher in hundreds of thousands of military-age Syrian men? Why, in the face of what just happened in Europe, when we know at least one of them was rescued from a refugee boat, and look what he did. Look what he did to those poor kids at that rave, that stupid dance of death. They didn't deserve to die. They were just drugged up kids who wanted to have a party. Just like parties go on every night in America. Drunken girls walking the streets at 4 a.m. Stupid, incompetent, cowardly boys marching around looking like models who are made of nothing. They're the paper men. The paper men of America marching around looking good, pumping themselves up at the gym, but inside as empty as a piece of cotton candy. So again, let's go back when I come back to my little view, like my visit to Brobbingdang. Walking around a white American mall on a sunny Saturday after the bombing. What did Brobbingdang look to me? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Because the music that the children who were killed were dancing to was not Ravel's Bolero. They were dancing to the band American Death Eagle, a death-worshipping band. And they were playing a song called Save a Prayer for Me, originally by Duran Duran. And I understand that where the song talks about looking into the well and world on fire, there are references to the Mahdi, or the return of the 13th Imam. Now, what was the importance of Paris and Friday the 13th? Does anyone know? I know. It happened on Friday the 13th, which symbolizes something. People say, oh, Friday the 13th is bad luck, but do you know why? It's the date and location that Jacques de Molay was burnt at the stake by Pope Clement V and King Philip IV, exactly 707 years and 7 months before. And the 130 plus or minus who were murdered in that concert hall by these vermin matches approximately the number of 128 of convicted Templar knights who were also killed with Jacques de Molay in 1307. Did you know that the combination of three satanic symbols that were utilized to make the solidarity with Paris symbol, peace, tricotere, and anarchy, were symbols that we used to make the peace, solidarity with Paris symbol? Well, either way, there's a lot more going on in front or behind the scenes, number one. And number two, instead of the youth of Paris rioting in the streets and demanding that no more Muslims be let in, investigate the mosques, no more immigrants, you know what the idiots did? They lit candles and brought out teddy bears. Now, if you were ISIS looking at this, you'd be laughing, saying it proves what we're saying is true. It proves that they're weak, they're too weak to survive, they're too weak to even protect themselves, so we'll do it again. Because the intelligence services have been deballed by the imbecile of Europe. You know that one of the bombers was on a watch list and they didn't arrest him in advance? Which leads me back to America. We understand that there are 1,000 Muslims under surveillance right now by our FBI. And yet they're not being arrested. Why? Oh, well, they're protected by the U.S. Constitution. And you don't want to violate our values, do you? Now, I would say the most fundamental value of a society is survival. Survival uber alles. It's called living or dying. So I would say that one of the great values of my society should be to protect me. And one of my values is I want to live, and I want my family to live. So I would say take your constitution and apply it to civilized people, not to 7th century vermin! In other words, we're going to be hit again and again and again because of progressive insanity. Progressive insanity. Who are they afraid of, the FBI? Why, they're afraid of the lawyers from the ACLU. They're afraid of all of the little girls in the ACLU. All of the boys with curly hair and big eyeglasses in the Southern Poverty Law Center. That's who they're afraid of. They don't answer to the American people. They answer to the most psychotic elements in American society. Suicidal elements at that. French music when I return, your calls when I return, all the news when I return, right here on the Savage Nation.
If you have a handful of people who don't mind dying, they can kill a lot of people. That's one of the challenges of terrorism. It's not their sophistication or the particular weapon that they possess, but it is the ideology that they carry with them and their willingness to die.
I wonder if this is a related issue, willingness to die. So he's saying you can't defeat people who are willing to die for their cause. Well, I guarantee you that Obama doesn't understand what I'm about to say. But, you know, we have a lot of men willing to die for their cause. They're called military men. And if we had a defeatist like Obama in office in 1939, you'd be speaking German or you'd be a lampshade. What would you call the bombing missions over Germany toward the end of World War II but suicide missions? Every man in every airplane was willing to die for America. Do you know that? But that's something that's alien to Barry from Honolulu. Many men in the military know that they're putting their life on the line. That's why they enlist. In fact, it's an all-volunteer military. They know it comes with the territory. They're not going in it for the shoes, are they? And the three meals, are they? The three hots and a cot? Most of them who are going into combat know that they're going in knowing that they could die for the country. They don't want to. But they know that that's part of the deal. They know that. Now, here in America, we have a revolutionary group called Black Lives Matter that has now taken over a library at Dartmouth University. They broke into a library, and they screamed, F you, you filthy white Fs. I know you don't want to hear it. It's very disturbing. So-called protesters who are really terrorists at Dartmouth University. Now, how did they get into Dartmouth? I would guess they were invited in. I guess all the liberal white professors felt that they needed diversity. So they invited these people into the university, just like Obama's inviting Muslim males into America. And instead of being rewarded with kindness, protesters at Dartmouth broke into the library, and as students were studying, they directed profanity toward the white students and physically pushed others. In a critical editorial, the conservative Dartmouth Review listed some of the epithets hurled by the black protesters. F you, you filthy white Fs. F you and your comfort. F you, you racist S. Some of the protesters then became physical. men and women were pushed and shoved by the group. They screamed, "If we can't have it, shut it down." Another woman was pinned to a wall by protesters who unleashed their insults, shouting, "Filthy white bee," in her face. And they screamed at them. One of the protesters posted online, said that they were ashamed of what the protest turned into. After making a girl cry, one of the black protesters screamed, "F your white tears." He wrote, "I was startled by the aggression from a small minority of students towards students in the library, many of whom were supporters of the movement. Liberalism is a mental disorder. It's a suicidal mental disorder. If you've trained your child to be this tolerant, you've trained your child to die." Now, I want to ask you something. How many brown shirts do you think there were in Nazi Germany that were able to bamboozle the entire Germany into becoming a Nazi state? 30,000. Only 30,000 brown shirts captured the Nazi movement. And through intimidation tactics of the type used by Black Lives Matter right now, screaming, cursing, pushing, eventually the brown shirts started to beat people up and kill them, to convert them to Nazism, to cow them. And just as these Islamists, what they say, there's 100,000 of them in Syria now? I don't know the number. There's certainly a critical mass sufficient to convert the mass of Muslims to their cause, isn't there? That's quite worrisome when you think about it. If 30,000 brown shirts can force an entire nation to adopt the racist, homicidal ideology of Nazi Germany, why, who knows but that these tens of thousands of Muslims can convince all Muslims in the world to follow their lead in blowing people up, killing them in the name of Allah? So we go back to old Obama, where he says, "Oh, you can't kill people who don't mind dying." Listen to, again, clip two, and see the context of this. This, there's no other word for it but pacifism. Listen to O2.
"If you have a handful of people who don't mind dying, they can kill a lot of people. That's one of the challenges of
terrorism."
Here we
go again, intellectual detachment.
It's not their sophistication or the particular weapon that they possess, but it is the ideology that they carry with them and their willingness to die.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got men willing to die if you unleash them. They're called special forces. They're called Navy SEALs. They're called Green Berets. They're called the Rangers. All the frontline troops that you hate, that you fear, know who you really are, that you won't unleash on them. They're willing to die. I got a report this morning from a very important man that the French Foreign Legionnaires, the French special forces, are ready to go into the Muslim neighborhoods and do what needs to be done to save France. And they're being constrained by the idiot, the imbecile of France. The imbecile of France will not let the tough, hard French troops do what they know needs to be done to protect their women and children. And we have the same thing here, the imbecile running the White House. The man is either an imbecile or a fellow traveler. There's no other explanation for it. I could see liberalism in a time of peace. I could see all of the claptrap coming out of his mouth in a time of peace with a booming economy. But in face of the bombings and the killings in cold blood on Friday, to keep repeating the same garbage is a mark of insanity and imbecility. Government zero. No borders, no language, no culture. Why do you think the book is jumping off the shelves? Why do you think even the most cynical liberal is going in bookstores right now trying to read something about what's going on that makes sense? Why do you think that they've been grabbing Government Zero? Why? Because it answers their questions. And by the way, let's turn to the solutions and see what it has to say about this situation. Oh, look at that, Savage. You said this on page 313 before Trump said it. Close the borders completely for 7 years. Thanks, Donald. Look at this one. Number three, Donald. Deport all illegal aliens in American prisons. Repeal the Anchor Babies Law. Make English the official language. Require government-issued identification to vote. Number eight, restore to active duty all military officers purged by Obama. Let's see. Repair our relations with Russia, number 12. Number 13, sign a mutual defense treaty with Israel. Oh, here's one. Mr. Obama, maybe you ought to pick up a copy, an electronic copy of Government Zero. Maybe you'll find out a strategy that might work. Page 316. Recognize radical Islam as the enemy. Look what Savage wrote. Look what he wrote. He said, we aren't fighting a war on terrorism. Terrorism is a minor problem outside of what is perpetrated by radical Islam. Let's formally recognize the enemy, who doesn't just fight on the battlefield and in terrorist acts, but seeks to infiltrate the West and destroy its borders, language, and culture. Mr. Obama, hold on now. I know it's hard for you to read anyone else's words because you are the all-perfect master. But number 16, Savage calls for this. What do you think of this, Mr. Obama? Allow profiling and security investigations, Mr. Obama. Look what that guy, Michael Savage, had the nerve to write. Look what he wrote. He said, while the TSA is harassing a Welsh-German grandmother from Indiana, radical Islamists walk onto airplanes without identification and try to blow them up. This is the insane result of banning profiling and security work. The security risks to American citizens come from radical Islamists. They have openly declared their intentions. Let's start our investigations on terrorist plots there and stop harassing innocent Americans. I hear the applause. I hear the applause out there. Remember, I wrote this over the last year. Not Saturday. It's all in Saving a Nation with Nationalism at the end of Government Zero. Oh, look at this. Wait, Mr. Obama, I know you can't listen. I know you can't hear a word anyone says because you are the all-perfect man. Number 17, Mr. Obama, look what that guy on the radio said. Didn't he say that he would listen to ideas if they were good? Didn't your president say that in one of his clips? That he's heard ideas, but they're all no good because they didn't emanate from his great brain? Or from Valerie Jarrett's brain? Where is this one? I've heard a lot of people say we should do this and do that. But frankly, typically the things they suggest are things we're already doing. Listen to clip three, Mr. Obama. You may learn something that you're not doing. Listen to clip three.
The strategy that we are putting forward is the strategy that ultimately is going to work.
Oh, yes.
But as I said from the start, it's going to take time. What's been interesting is in the aftermath of Paris, as I listen to those who suggest something else needs to be done,
typically
the things they suggest need to be done are things we are already doing.
Oh, really? Mr. Obama, please pick up a copy of Government Zero. Download it on your app. Because point number 15 says recognize radical Islam as the enemy. Have you done that yet? You say typically things you're already doing. You haven't recognized radical Islam. You won't even say the two words together. And another one, on number 16, you may learn something. Allow profiling in security investigations. Wait, Mr. Obama, I know you're nervous. Hold it. Number 17, demand Congress declare war against ISIS and destroy them. Wow. ISIS claims to be a formal state. They control territory, have declared war on the United States, and have killed American citizens. This is a no-brainer. Declare war and win it decisively. The rules of engagement should go no further than what is required by the Geneva Conventions. That's all on page 316 of Government Zero, Mr. Obama. I don't think you read it. I don't think any of the girls around you would let you even see those ideas because you said that all these ideas have already been enacted, and yet none of my ideas have been enacted, Mr. Obama. And I have one of the most far-seeing minds of my generation, Mr. Obama. Oh, you may not see me on CNN. You may not see me on MSNBC. You may not see me on Fox. In fact, I'm invisible. I'm the invisible man, Mr. Obama. But I'm also the most far-seeing person in the American media right now, Mr. Obama. And you don't see what's going on. You refuse to see it. WABC Bill Welkidio, talk. Okay, I guess it's a failure to call screen properly. Bill is not there. Thank you for that one. First call of the day, and it's a dud. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Saluting the people of France and their fantastic culture of the past by playing some classical French music. That's Lullet, Fanfare pour le Carousel Royal. And now we go to the lunatic of the West in Barack Obama. You got to listen to what happened this morning at the conference at Ankara, Turkey. If you watched it as it occurred, your jaw would have fallen open. You would have said this. Even the liberal reporters were stunned by the man's stupidity and his emptiness. All I saw was an empty suit. A fraud, a complete fraud, a naked fraud. The thin man, the nobody, the nowhere man. Listen to clip 7 as they try to challenge the lunatic in 7.
Do you think you really understand this enemy well enough to defeat them and to protect the homeland?
We have been fully aware.
You got to stop. Did you hear he almost broke just there? This guy is such a phony. He looked just like a kid who was finally called on the carpet by a teacher. And instead of the booming fake voice that he uses all the time to bamboozle everyone, the voice broke for 1 second when they saw right through him. I want you to play it again. I want you to hear the voice break when he realizes he's completely been exposed for the fraud he is. Listen to 7.
Do you think you really understand this enemy well enough to defeat them and to protect the homeland?
We have been fully aware of the potential capabilities of them carrying out a terrorist attack. That's precisely why we have been mounting a very aggressive strategy to go after them.
What?
As I said before.
Okay, let's stop right there. The reporters looked right through him, and they saw a hollow man, a straw man, an empty man. A man with straw between his ears. And I'm being benevolent in saying that. Is there anything I have not said that you need to say? Something that would add to any of this? Here are some headlines. Republicans question U.S. refugee plan. Obama not reconsidering plan to bring in Syrian refugees. Hillary refuses to use term radical Islam. Excuse me? Bringing in more Syrian refugees? Now, who's on his side on this? The corrupt organizations that are profiting from it. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops wants 100,000 Syrians. The Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services. International Rescue Committee want 100,000 refugees. Why? Money. Follow the money. Who else? Which one of the Republican numbskulls wants more? Senator Lindsey Graham, who shot his mouth off saying we need to be more militant. And then he said at the same time he's joining with Senator Patrick Leahy, Leaky Leahy, to nearly double the amount of funding Washington spends on resettling Syrian refugees into the United States of America. That's your Lindsey Graham, the phony tort lawyer. Leahy's office told The Hill that the legislation would allow for the resettlement of up to 100,000 Syrian refugees over 2 years. And joining him in that bill is none other than the double-talking phony Lindsey Graham. Even Romney came out and said no Syrian refugees. Can you believe that? Can you believe that even milquetoast Romney had something to say on this issue? How is that possible? You know, you're in real trouble in a country when even milquetoast Romney starts to sound like a conservative. You know that you're really in real trouble. Romney actually said it. We need a wartime consigliere who will name the enemy, go after the enemy, and kill the enemy. We need to slam the door shut on all refugees from Muslim lands. We need to reinstitute the monitoring of mosques throughout America, which was done in New York City by the NYPD until Barry Obama took office, along with de Blasio.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Today I'm playing some classical French music. This, of course, is the American composer, George Gershwin. Everyone knows this song when they hear it. Play it again. They just so they know it. They would have known this. They would have known Saint-Saëns, Ravel's Bolero, Debussy, Bizet, Lully. We would have known it all because it was in Music 101. Now, of course, it's the music of rubbing your crotch with bling in your teeth. The real American music. No, the real important music. The music that will last 1,000 years. The barbarism of that music is beyond belief compared to the beautiful music that I'm playing for you today. In my opinion, as one man's opinion, I realize it could be an affront to some individuals who like rap music. I don't happen to be one of them. I call it jail music, frankly. It's the music that was born in prisons. And, hey, not my music. You know, it's a big country, lots of different views. And to me, I'd rather listen to the French music that I'm playing today rather than the other stuff that I'm talking about. So the best one was Berlioz's Symphonie Fantastique, March to the Scaffold. This is something that if you created it for a comedy show, people would laugh and say, that's funny. That's a parody of Bernie Sanders, but it isn't a parody. Listen to clip 15. This is the idiocy of the Democrats. Listen.
When people migrate into cities and they don't have jobs, there's going to be a lot more instability, a lot more unemployment, and people will be subject to the types of propaganda that Al-Qaeda and ISIS are
now
using.
Now let's go to clip 14 because he's an expert on climate change. The only thing Bernie Sanders knows about climate change is that when, well, I'll stop right there. It's a family show. Listen to clip 14.
Climate change is directly related to the growth of terrorism. And if we do not get our act together and listen to what the scientists say, you're going to see countries all over the world. This is what the CIA says. They're going to be struggling over limited amounts of water, limited amounts of land to grow their crops. And you're going to see all kinds of international conflict.
Liberalism is a mental disorder. You know, it would be laughable if it wasn't true. It's not laughable. This moron is actually running for the presidency, and the idiots, the ravers, and the campuses actually believe this lunatic. The man is foaming mouth, insane. So it's drought that's causing terrorism. This moron doesn't know that Islam has been at war with the rest of the world for 1,200 years. 1,200 years, you moron, before industrialization, when they were burning camel dung in the desert. They were at war with everyone around them to convert them to their religion. Just study the history of it, you idiot, you. Surely you learned something in between studying communism, Bernie. This is what's running for the presidency, but if you think Hillary is far behind them, you're wrong. She refused to use the words radical Islam Saturday night. How anyone could ever vote for a Democrat after 9/11, after Boston Marathon bombing, after Paris... You are nuts. You're just nuts. You're just nuts. You're doing a dance of death in the West, as I said to you at the beginning of this show. You are part of the lunatics who are doing a death dance, a spiral of death. I'm not going to read it again. I read it once before. I wrote, there is a dance of death in the West, an actual death in the Middle East, courtesy of the Islamofascists. Meanwhile, the Caesar in the White House entertains himself with 1,000 sycophants. Partying on behind closed doors as if the Islamofascist hand will not touch him. He thinks he's protected from this new plague, the Black Death of Radical Islam. Can you name one other book that has as keen an insight into what's going on as Government Zero? There is none. It's the most insightful, poignant, important, alarming, awakening literature now available in America. I wrote it. And we wake up, and here we have Hillary Clinton saying we need more refugees. More, not less. She wants more than 10,000. She wants 65,000. Listen to clip 13 from this mad woman. Listen.
We should take increased numbers of refugees. The administration originally said 10. I said we should go to 65, but only if we have as
careful... Did you hear what this liar just said? She uses the word 10 when she means 10,000. This double-talking, phony, anti-American liar says, State Department says 10, I want 65. She means 65,000 Muslims. Listen to 13 of the mad woman Clinton now. Listen again.
We should take increased numbers of refugees. The administration originally said 10. I said we should go to 65, but only if we have as careful a screening and vetting process as we can imagine, whatever resources it takes.
What?
Because I do not want us to in any way inadvertently allow people who wish us harm to come into our country.
Now, this woman created the refugee crisis. And because of idiots like Jake Woodpecker, she's allowed to get away with her big lie. This woman created the Arab Spring. She organized it. She instituted it. She enacted it. She brought down Gaddafi. She boasted about him being killed. Libya opened the doors to the refugee crisis. She did it. And yet, because of fellow travelers like Jake Woodpecker, nobody asks her if she feels sorry for what she did to the world with her Arab Spring policies. Instead, she wants to bring in more of the Muslim refugees. So you have to ask yourself, maybe they really wanted this to happen. Maybe they destroyed the Middle East to free up the Muslims to overrun Europe and America. Now, why would a woman like her want Muslims to overrun America? Why? Why does she not say, I want to bring in all the Christians who are being persecuted in the Middle East? I want to open the doors to all the Christians in the Middle East and Africa who are being killed. There's a genocide going on, according to the UN Against Christians. Why is she not talking about Christians? Why is she talking only about Muslim refugees? Now, it gets even worse if you want to see a conspiracy emerging. Here is Barry from Honolulu, the Booming Barry. We'll call him Booming Barry today. And that is Booming Barry on religion now. Here's Booming Barry in clip five. Listen to this one.
The United States has to step up and do its part. And when I hear folks say that, well, maybe we should just admit the Christians but not the Muslims. When I hear political leaders suggesting that there would be a religious test.
Why not?
For which person who's fleeing
from
a war-torn country is admitted. When some of those folks themselves come from families who benefited from protection when they were fleeing political persecution.
Look,
that's
at the
shameful.
Apples and oranges.
That's not American.
Who are you to say
that's
what's
not
American?
Who we are.
We don't know what we are.
Religious tests to our compassion.
Yes, we do, moron. Yes, we do, moron. I keep hearing the same lie, the same homily over and over again. That's not American. What do you mean not so? Survival is American. It's ingrained in our very DNA, Barry. Survival is our number one value, Barry. Not liberalism. Your failed, corrupt, broken philosophy has blown up in your face and you refuse to acknowledge it, Barry. You're a laughingstock to the world. The whole world is laughing at you. The world knows you're a weak pacifist who has nothing but contempt for your own nation and your own people. The world knows this now. 2 hours and 15 minutes I've been trying to awaken you. Now here's the problem. Those of you who know will always know, and those of you who don't will never. There is no changing the mind of those who would dance before the golden idol. There is no way to ever change them. They will not change. I got an email from somebody who said, Michael, you're basically wasting your time. Those of us who listen to you every day have understood for years what you've been saying on Borders, Language, and Culture. Those of us who've bought Government Zero and try to give it to people to read for Thanksgiving, we're trying, but we know they won't listen. They'll look at us with sort of detached amusement. Their minds are made up. They're closed-minded. The American mind closed a long time ago because of the brainwashing of progressivism. It's destroyed the minds of an entire generation. And they go on to say, Michael, there's only one thing that will turn this around. And it's a terrible thing to admit. They say that only when 10,000 Americans are killed in one day by one act of terror will the country ever throw these psychopaths out of office and take the country back and save themselves before there's nothing left to save. The dance of death. The dance of death goes on while the Caesar in the White House parties on behind closed doors as if the Islamo-fascist hand will not touch him. He thinks he's protected from this new plague, the Black Death of radical Islam.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. If you were educated before rap music took over the campuses, that's Georges Bizet. Toreadors from Carmen Suite Number 1. Of course, now that music is considered dead, you know, dead white European males, and we have much better music right now. Much more important music, much more important literature, much more important philosophy. much more important mathematics and science, as you well know, than we had in those primitive days when the dreaded white male's literature, science, poetry, art was prevalent on the campuses. We have a far better civilization now, don't we? A civilization that can defend itself, a civilization that knows how to survive, a civilization that knows who to let in and who to keep out. Yes, we've certainly evolved as a society, haven't we? Can you imagine if Obama had been president in 1939? Can you imagine how he keeps repeating the same mantra over and over again? With his bleeding heart for Muslims, with his refusal to acknowledge what ISIS itself defines itself as. It's called the Islamic State, IS. I'm not doing this to attack Muslims. ISIS, Islamic State. They're fundamentalist Muslims. They want to drag us back to the 7th century, something that Islam evolved out of over a period of time. Now, you know, this is an interesting show unto itself, which is, how is it that Islam could go backwards to that state? How is it that a group of Muslims could have taken it back to the 7th century when it had evolved beyond that? How is it possible that a religion that had evolved to a much, much higher standard of civilization can be devolved back to the 7th century in our time? How did that happen? Well, it's Saudi Arabian money, number one. It's the Wahhabi sect of Islam that did it, number two. You don't understand how deep this goes into Saudi Arabia, but I do. It's all discussed in Government Zero, yes, my master plan, my master analysis and my master plan for what is happening, what will happen, and how to stop it before it's too late. But nevertheless, this didn't come out of a vacuum. It comes out of a process of the Wahhabi sect of Islam combined with the degeneracy and weakness of the West. Does that work for you as a one sentence paragraph? Combined with the degeneracy and weakness of the West. As I walked through the white suburban mall on Saturday, I told you I try to imagine what this looked like to a radical Islamist. Make believe I'm writing a new novel. And this is the Islamist walking around looking at America. He's been slipped in as a student. He shaved his beard. He changed his name to Smith. And he's walking around looking at white America. And he goes to a mall on a Saturday. And what does Mr. Islamist see? He sees a white father with a 12 or 14-year-old daughter walking around in pajamas and no shoes. And the father is on an iPhone. The father didn't have the dignity to tell his daughter not to wear pajamas out of the house because it would be upsetting to her to say to her, "I'm sorry, honey, you can't wear pajamas in the street. I don't care if it's fashionable, you're not wearing pajamas in the street." That would might have broken the child down. She might have needed therapy. Now, this is the same child that goes to a college that tells her global warming is the greatest threat to the survival of the world, tells her that all religions are equal. Go down the list. I don't have to read a litany to you. Okay, borders, language, culture. So what else does our friend from see in Brobbingdang, those of you who know what Brobbingdang is, he's walking around Brobbingdang and he's looking. What else did he see? He sees Americans sitting in restaurants, eating, drinking. No one is having a political discussion. This is the day after the bombing in France. No one's talking politics. They would feel it's impolite to be angry. They cannot show anger. They can only show anger at Republicans. They can only show anger at Republicans and homophobes, but they cannot show any anger towards a government that failed them once again, a government that fails them over and over and over again. They cannot talk about politics. It's not polite. Politics is pornography to the average white American. They do not discuss politics except to bash Republicans. And what else does this man see as he walks around Brobbingdang? He sees nothing. There's nothing there. He knows he can cut through it as a sharp knife through warm butter. He sees a weak nation. He doesn't know where the tough men are. He doesn't see any. They're not there. They're not in the white suburban mall for sure on a Saturday afternoon. Where are they? Well, they're in prison, or they're in the military, or they're in the police force. That's where they are. But he never sees them because they're behind the scenes. They're kept behind the scenes. And right now, he feels safe because he knows that the police have been cowed by the most anti-police, anti-American president in history. Through every trick in the book that he learned as a young radical, he has now frightened the police into not taking proactive steps to stop acts of crime and acts of terror before they occur. And so the FBI itself is now cowed and cuckolded. The FBI has 1,000 investigations going on against who? Irish grandmothers or Muslim Muslim men and women who might hurt us. So you ask yourself, why don't they arrest them? Why don't they preemptively just drag them out by their filthy scarves and throw them into a holding tank? Put them into a holding tank before they kill us like they did in France. Can't do it because they're afraid of the ACLU.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage. It's a lyrical for what's really going on in the world, and it's a tragically sad day indeed when you have a man so empty of soul and mind in the form of the President of the United States saying the things he said today in Turkey were shameful, deliberately embarrassing to the United States and the world. So embarrassing, in fact, that the liberal reporters themselves sat in stunned shock at the things he was saying. And there's only one way to change it, and that is to not impeach him, because that will never happen. That won't happen. No, they have to have a hearing on the man's fitness to hold office. Five psychiatrists, 10, doesn't matter, 9. Make it like a grand jury. It's a Supreme Court. 9 judge whether he's fit to hold office, because I believe he's not fit to hold office. I believe the things that he said today indicate he's not fit for office. He's living in another world, a dream world. Even the Muslims know that something has to be done. Muslims who are not fanatically insane know that something has to be done to stop them. And this lunatic says the opposite. He says, bring them in. Slamming the door on refugees would be a betrayal. We don't have religious tests to our compassion. He doesn't understand who they are. He won't even call them Islamic. This just came out and is shocking out of from Josh Meyer of NBC News. ISIS has help desk for terrorists staffed around the clock. NBC News has learned that ISIS is using a web-savvy new tactic to expand its global operational footprint. A 24-hour jihadi help desk to help its foot soldiers spread its message worldwide, recruit followers, and launch more attacks on foreign soil. You know, this leads you to ask some questions that need to be asked. And they're being asked right now behind the scenes. And this is a tough one for me because I'm in the First Amendment business, which is, what are the limits of the First Amendment? Now, we all know we gave up our freedom at the airports because of the Muslim attackers on 9/11. We know that. We know that. We gave up many of our freedoms. We became prisoners in our own country because of them. And in that sense, they defeated us. So before we go down the road of asking, should Twitter be banned? I'll ask, should Twitter be banned? Should any of the means of communication being used by them be put out of business? Now, I realize that if you ban Twitter, you couldn't talk about your lipstick or where were you going to meet your girlfriend for dinner. I understand that'd be a great stress for you. But since most of these social media accounts are useless, they're nothing but gossip sites, if they are endangering us, why shouldn't we consider closing them down in a time of war? You know, pretty strange things happen in a time of war. People are interned. Remember that happened to the Japanese in World War II? Irrespective of whether you agree or disagree, that's not the point. It happened. And it was a liberal progressive president who interned in Japanese, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Wasn't a racist, wasn't a fascist. He was a liberal Democrat. He interned the Japanese into camps for reasons that I won't go into right now. They were his reasons, not mine. So strange things happen in a time of war. There's censorship of the press. During war, did you know that you didn't know about any of that? Oh, yeah. You can't talk about your lipstick or your shoes. You can't talk about where to get a good martini on internet during times like that. So there probably will be a discussion very shortly. And let me be the first to throw the pebble out into the pond of whether or not we should eliminate some of the social media sites that the terrorists are using to communicate and recruit with and plan operations. I understand a Sony PlayStation is being used. Well, let me ask you something. Would society suffer if all Sony PlayStation devices were banned? I'm asking the question. Tell me what would happen. I don't use Sony PlayStation, but I know many of you do. Would your life change for the worse if you couldn't use Sony PlayStation? Robert, do you use it? Yeah, I don't. Would your life change if it was eliminated? Would your life end? Not terribly. Okay. So maybe it's possible to give up some of your freedoms, such as the Sony PlayStation or Twitter, in order to prevent these evildoers from continuing their horrible acts of murder and mayhem? Or are you not willing to give that up? I don't know. You have to think about these things because it's going to happen one way or the other, as sure as I'm standing here. And it'll come at you when you least expect it. It'll come after the next terrorist attack in America, which could be catastrophic, and it could come tomorrow. Do you think there's anything to stop them from striking here in America? Who? Who's going to stop them? Every intelligence agency in this country has been, let me use a proper word, let us say constrained. I'll be very classy about it. Constrained by Barry from Honolulu and his girlfriend and the girls around him in the sorority. They have constrained the FBI. The CIA, don't even tell me about the CIA, please. You look at John Brennan, I saw a hollow voice. I saw a hollow body emitting foul air. As John Brennan spoke, I saw a hollow body emitting foul air from between his teeth. I saw nothing coming out of his mouth that gave me any sense of security. The FBI gives me a sense of security, but he's been marginalized by the Islamists inside the government. Or the Islamic fellow travelers, let's be more specific. How does the FBI director keep his job when he's being so clear in what's going on? He said they have 1,000 investigations in America right now. We know that they're not about Irish grandmothers in wheelchairs. They're not looking into Irish grandmothers who might be terrorists, are they? So that means 1,000 jihadists, that means 1,000 Muslims are being looked at in the United States of America as we speak. Why not preemptively arrest them? I don't understand it. What are you looking at them for? What are you looking so long? They were looking at them in France, too. Wasn't Obama looking at the Sarnoff brothers in Boston? Weren't they under surveillance? Then they set the pressure cooker off in Boston. Why weren't they arrested in advance? Why? Because of the cockamamie psychotic liberal lawyers who have the most twisted suicidal values you could ever imagine under the guise of freedom. The lawyers prevented the FBI from arresting the Sarnoff brothers. And, of course, they set the bomb off in Boston. So there are likely many of them ready to go here in America who the FBI has been watching. They could arrest them preemptively, put them in a gigantic holding area, treat them humanely, and not let them out until the war on terror is more or less under control, until the flame starts to die out. Keep them almost eternally in an American Guantanamo. Give them 3 meals a day, give them whatever they need to feel comfortable, and conduct trials for all of them. Why can't you do that? Tell me why you wouldn't do that in a time of war. It was done in World War II. During World War II, would you have brought in Germans? Let me ask you something. You're at war with Hitler. Hitler's declared war on you. And what? You say you're going to bring in Germans because they're fleeing Hitler. You say, but what's the reason? Wait a minute. Hold on now. How many of them might be fellow travelers or Nazis? Oh, don't worry. We're going to screen Hans. We have very strict screening processes to determine whether Hans is a good German or a bad German. Well, what are those screening processes? We can't disclose them. It's a matter of national security. Well, don't you worry. Us girls have it under control. We can screen as many of those Germans as necessary to only let the good ones in because our sieve is so fine that not one bad German will get in. Not one saboteur will get in who will blow up a train. Not one saboteur will get in who will blow up a day school. Not one saboteur will get in who will blow up a pizzeria or a cafe because we are so smart. And so instead of not letting the Germans in, we're going to screen the Germans. And we're going to hope for the best because that's who we are as a nation. Those are our values. We are optimists and we trust people. We are good liberal progressives. And on that note, I think I'll rest and take a phone call. Let's go to Patty, WMAC Radio in Georgia. Make your point. Please go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
The intelligence that France used to bomb Syria came from Obama. Obama had the intelligence, never acted on it.
Well, okay, but it begs the question of why didn't Obama act on it a week before the attacks in France?
Because he's working on the other side. You were right about that.
Well, there's only three conclusions that can be drawn with the empty suit. One, he's stupid. Two, he is a progressive liberal who actually believes in what he says, which makes him stupid. Or three, he's working with them, which makes him even more stupid. In either case, he's not fit for office.
He's loyal to Islam. He said it.
Well, but remember, you see, you say that and you're not thinking clearly. There are many Muslims who are loyal to Islam but are not fanatical murderers. I've said that. It's true. Not every Muslim is a terrorist. but it's also true that almost all terrorists are Muslims. That's a statement that was made by a Muslim himself over right after 9/11. Did you know that? He said, not all Muslims are terrorists, but unfortunately almost all acts of terror are conducted by Muslims. It was written by a Muslim. Do you know that?
Okay, I stand corrected.
No, I'm not trying to correct you, but I'm sending you a Thanksgiving gift. It's all in my book. If you name it, you gain it. What's the name of my book?
Government Zero. Thank you.
But do you promise to put it out on the Thanksgiving table, along with the turkey, to try to trigger conversation amongst ignorant fools who don't know what's going on around them? Please do. Please do. If you have a copy, bring it to Thanksgiving dinner and try to discuss what's going on. And if you can't get people to talk about what's going on and the danger we're in, then what hope is there for the country? That's what I want to know. Look, don't progressives pride themselves on being open-minded? That's how to start the conversation. Let's say you have a Bernie Sanders in-law. Someone who looks like him, talks like him, walks like him. Someone who is as ignorant as Bernie Sanders, but he's so bigoted in his liberalism that his mind is made up. So you say, look, Bernie, I know you're an open-minded man, aren't you? And what's he going to say? No, I'm not. Yeah, I'm open-minded. He'll be a little, you know, defensive. Are you at least willing to discuss what must be done to stop radical Islam from hurting us again?
Yeah, well, maybe. It's not that right-wing racist stuff.
And then say to him, you know, Bernie, I read a book which says there's a dance of death in the West and actual death in the Middle East, courtesy of the Islamofascists. And stop right there. Read one sentence. And then say, Bernie, what do you think of that?
Well, unless we...
No, Bernie, listen. Is there a dance of death in the West, Bernie? Or read in the next one. The Caesar in the White House entertains himself with 1,000 sycophants, partying on behind closed doors as if the Islamo-fascist hand will not touch him. Bernie, do you agree with that or not? You see what I'm saying? You can do it with one sentence. You don't need a whole book. 855-400-7282, phone number. MichaelSavage.com, website. Government Zero, the best-selling book. Sixth in a row. You know, I have one wall in one of my houses that has all of the plaques with all of my best-selling books. It shows the cover. It shows the New York Times list and where it wound up the first week. I counted them last night. I usually keep them in a closet. You know, people put their awards up. I really don't. I had them all stacked up in a closet. I had nothing to do yesterday, so I got out a hammer and picture hangers. I couldn't believe what I looked at. There were three on one wall. There were four on another wall. Seven best-selling books in a row. Now, what am I trying to say to you? If so many people are listening to my show and buying my books, what are they trying to say in buying the book? They're making a statement. They agree with me, or they wouldn't buy the book to begin with. They agree that we have a government of no borders, no language, and no culture. So what is it that the book is going to do to change things? There's only one thing I can say. The book itself is a billboard. Just putting the cover, the book, on a table and saying not a word says like a billboard in your house. Maybe, just maybe, you can have one person in your family who is an ignoramus open their eyes before it's too late. And that's all I'm going to say on the book, because this is not about a book. It's not about the sale of a book. It's about the death of a nation. It's about trying to save a nation. It's about trying to warn people before it's absolutely too late. And the one thing we must do is stop the importation of Muslim refugees. Yes, we must have a religious litmus test to our compassion. Obama is, again, 100% wrong. He is 100% wrong. Anyone with common sense knows that you don't bring in Muslims from war-torn Syria at a time like this, because you know and I know there's no way to vet them. None whatsoever. Common sense would say don't bring them in. And yet he's doubling down. Why? There's a couple of reasons. Voters and the money that the Catholic charities wants, Lutheran charities want, the Jewish charities want. You get the picture? You know, I think it was Karl Marx who wrote that when the last capitalist is hung, we will hang him with the rope that he manufactured. That's sort of what comes to mind. Must take a quick one. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO. It is the Savage Nation. We've been talking about what to do to stop the next attack. Rocky on WDRC, fire away. You're up on the Savage Nation.
It's a pleasure and a privilege, Dr. Savage. I was on a flight from Las Vegas, Nevada to Hartford, Connecticut. I had your illustrious reading of Government Zero, which is a fantastic piece. I was mocked and chastised by people ahead of me when they turned and saw the cover. So I invited anyone who wanted to sit next to me in the empty seat to stop drinking their liberal berry Kool-Aid and get educated, and maybe if I could save one of you, my job will be done.
And I guarantee you none of them would take you up, right, on your offer?
No, sir, they did not. They looked at me, and I said throughout the whole flight, one guy said to me, where did you get it? I said, I bought it at a bookstore, and I said, it's the best piece of literature I've ever read in my life. Especially.
Well, let me ask, hold on. Was this before Paris or after it?
Actually, I flew out on Saturday, so it was after it.
So the idiots still don't know what's going on? The moron, liberal, stupid, sympathetic progressives still don't know what's going on around them? They still believe in the empty suit? Okay, Rocky, thanks for that update. I'm not surprised. Liberals are amongst the most bigoted people I've ever met in my life. Here's one for you Democrats. Minnesota Democrat ends bid for state assembly seat after sympathetic Islamic State tweet. Dateline today, Minneapolis. A Democratic candidate for the Minnesota House ended his campaign Sunday after he tweeted that the Islamic State group, quote, isn't necessarily evil, and its members were doing what they thought was best for their community. My friends, liberalism is a mental disorder. The progressive Islamist allegiance is overwhelmingly alive in America. Your neighbor is a threat to your very survival. The bigotry of liberals will unfortunately sink the ship of state. God bless America.
Thank you.